right, we started recording. So now, if you cause any trouble, it's going to be on the web. And your parents are going to listen, especially when you listen and summarize, like the word. When you write me an email, listening to the what to the topic, and you listen and you have notes, right? So using both, you can write a summary, okay? And I got good summaries and I got lousy summaries. So the ones who did a lousy job, they know themselves. They should do better next time.
Was mine good?
All right. Allah holds the soul. Allah holds the souls of the ones who are not due for death yet. Until the, and that is the topic of today, until the appointed. Time of death. In Arabic, it means ila ajalin musamma. Ila ajalin musamma. So, what is the concept that we're trying to learn here? We're trying to learn that your time of death is already determined. It's already determined. And to show you how is that, let me tell you a story that happened at the time of Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam. You know, Prophet Sulaiman was given royal powers that nobody else got. Among his royal powers, what? Who knows which royal power that Prophet Sulaiman had? Okay, related to the wind. Related to the wind. Huh? He was given a royal power related to the wind. What is that royal power? He can command the wind to carry something from one place to another. So who can say, you, wind, the wind, I command you to carry X person from Jerusalem into India. And the wind will form and carry that person, and the person will fly, the wind will make this person fly, and with the speed of wind, the guy arrives at India. And probably this is where they got the Aladdin carpet, Alaeddin carpet, the flying carpet. Yeah. This is probably where they got this idea from.
How fast is the speed of wind?
Depends. I mean, the wind, I think, it can go up to, like, if it's higher there, it can go like 500 miles per hour.
500?
And that's going to be very fast wind.
It's even faster.
Very fast wind. Remember that. It's not a storm. It is just a small tunnel of wind.
It's like a current of wind.
It's just like a small tunnel of wind. Wow. It's just like, yeah, it's like a pipe of wind. Like, looks like pipe. It carries the person and delivers that person into the place where Prophet Sulaiman commanded. So, I like to call it Sulaiman Airlines. Sulaiman what?
Airlines.
Okay? So now, what happened is that Prophet Sulaiman was sitting with a gathering. And they were talking about certain things. And while he was sitting with the gathering and talking about things, a very strange-looking, scary-looking guy. It's very, nobody knows that guy. And he's so clean. Like he wasn't traveling. Because in the old days, if you're traveling, you're dusty and you smell. And, you know, it's just so you don't look like somebody who's like flying in the airport like today. No, it's really a very difficult trip that makes you look bad. So yeah, so the guy came, nobody knows him, so he's from out of town. At the same time, he has clean clothes, which means that he's not a traveler. So it was a puzzle. And he looked very strange and scary. He walked in, and then he walked to one person in the gathering, and he sat down and he started staring at that person. Like this. Staring at that person in a very scary way. And he didn't care about everybody else. He came just for that person. And the person got very uncomfortable and he just worried so much. Then, after a few minutes, this strange guy walked out. So the guy went to Prophet Sulaiman, the guy that was looked at by the stranger, ran to Prophet Sulaiman and he said, "Prophet Sulaiman, you are a prophet of Allah. Who is this guy that was staring at me?" Prophet Sulaiman said, "That is the angel of death." The guy was about to be in his pants. Oh my God, the angel of death? Ya Allah. And then he started begging of Prophet Sulaiman. "Then he's going to take my soul. I'm going to die. I beg of you, command the wind to carry me to India." He was in Jerusalem with Prophet Sulaiman. So he said, "Command the wind to carry me to where?"
To India.
Okay? So I can escape from the angel of death. So Prophet Sulaiman, out of his mercy, you know, he feels kindness, he commanded the wind to carry him to India. Then, after a while, the same stranger came back to Prophet Sulaiman. So Prophet Sulaiman asked him, "What is the story? I mean, what is happening here? Why did you come and stare at the guy and then you did what you did? What's the story here?" So the angel of death said, "Allah told me to go at a specific time and take the soul out of the body of this guy in India." So Allah told him to take the soul of this person where? In India. So the angel of death said, "I looked all over the earth. I found him in Jerusalem. So I looked at him. He is the guy that I have. And he's due to die in a few minutes. And he's still in Jerusalem. And Allah said, take his soul from India." So I didn't understand. How could he travel from Jerusalem to India so fast? I said, "Allah said, take his soul from India. And the guy here is Jerusalem." So I was staring at him to make sure that he's the guy that I'm supposed to take his soul. And then Prophet Sulaiman asked him, "And then what happened?" He said, "I went to India in the same exact place and time that Allah has given me in my book. I found the guy, so I took his soul." You see? No, you cannot outsmart Allah. I mean, what are you doing here? Allah knows exactly what's going to happen. So he does determine your time of death. It is predetermined. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does change the time of death of people. The appointed time of death changes. How? Huh? Dua, takbir. What else? What else, Sammy?
Eating healthy.
No. Okay. Being kind to your parents, huh? Reciting Quran.
Fasting.
Fasting, praying. Good deeds, paying charity. Okay? Allah changes your shares of life, including the time of death. You know how Allah, you know, distribute the shares of life among people? He like says, "Okay, you live 60 years. You have, you look like that. You live 60 years. You have that much money. You have this much happiness. You have this much, these many children." And Allah does pre-assign what you're going to be getting in this life. Shares. It's called shares of life. Right? How much share you get is determined by who? Allah. And you're going to work hard, 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 and get exactly the what? The share that was pre-assigned to you. It is pre-assigned. And so now, then how do you go to Jannah or hell? If you get your share the haram way, then you get punished. But if you get your share the halal way, then you get what? Reward. So let's say Allah assigned you $5,000. They are going to come to you. If Allah has assigned them, they will have to come to you. Right, Sammy? They will have to come to you. However, you, because you're so greedy, you saw that you can steal them. So you stole the $5,000. Then you go to what?
Jail.
You go to jail or you go to hell for getting the money the haram way. But if you choose to get them the halal way, you refuse to get them the haram way. You get so many. You get tempted by $5,000 the haram way and you turn them down. You say, no, I'm not getting them. It's haram money. I'm not getting them. It's haram money. Then Allah will give them to you the halal way. You get a promotion. You get a raise. You go, you buy stocks and you sell them high. Allah gives you tawfiq. You know, tawfiq is make your effort successful. Because some people, Allah will take tawfiq from them, which means that they go do business and they lose money. They buy stocks, the stock goes down. They buy a house, the prices of houses go down, like the people who bought houses in 2008. And then their houses now are underwater because they owe more on the house than the actual equity of the house. Now, they didn't know the future, but who made them buy at this time? Allah. Now, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make their effort successful. At the same time, some people sold their houses in 2008. So now they avoided the loss. They avoided the what? Loss. Who made them sell their homes in 2008?
Allah.
Allah. Okay. So it is all in the hands of Allah. We say lucky and unlucky. No, it's not lucky and unlucky. It is muwaffaq wa ghayr muwaffaq. Muwaffaq means have tawfiq, means Allah is granting him success to his effort or granting her. Ghayr muwaffaq means Allah makes their effort fail. Fail. So they open a store, they go out of business. They buy a house, it goes down. They buy a stock, it goes down. Now, the paying a charity will always increase your shares. There are certain things when you do will always increase your shares. Now, somebody might say, hey, hold on. There is a conflict between what you said and what is written on the board. Right? You're saying that it's appointed already. Yes, it's appointed, but Allah will grant you what? Extensions. So if you're due for death on May 5th, 2050, okay? You pay, you become nice to your parents. Allah says to the angels, I grant him 2 more years of life because he was kind to his parents. Then you pay a charity. Allah says, I grant him 5 years of life because he paid a charity. Then he helps others. Then Allah also says, I take away, he was supposed to get cancer. Okay, or she was supposed to get cancer. Then Allah says to the angels, take away the cancer that was pre-assigned to them. Take it away because they were nice to others. Okay? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says dua, and the assigned shares, they do fight between heavens and earth. So let's say, Ya Allah, give me money. And Allah says, you're not going to get this money, all right, initially. But because you made dua, Allah will grant you and give you the money. Go ahead.
But since he already knows what you're going to do, why can't he just give you that when you're going to die, like... if you already know, like, if he says that first, like, you're going to live for 60 years, and then you be nice to your parents, so you get to live for 2 more years, right? Why can't you just say originally, let him live for 62 years?
You are very, mashallah, you're very smart. I was waiting for some one of you to ask this question. And as usual, you know, Sammy is smart but troublemaker. So he asked the question, which is he's smart, but I wish he's not a troublemaker. That would be perfect. But very, very smart. So who can repeat his question again? Huh? What was his question?
Uh-huh.
Good job. Good, excellent job. The purpose is, the question is, well, Allah knew from the beginning that the guy is going to be nice to his parents. Okay? And he gave him, and he changed his time of death from 60 to 62 because he's going to be nice to his parents. Allah knew that. Why didn't Allah say from the beginning that he just died at the age of 62? Huh? Takbir! Allahu Akbar. Very smart. Allah wants to the people and angels to recognize his kindness. Okay? If he wouldn't do that, you won't be able to see his kindness. Okay? For the angels in particular. I'll give you an example. How Allah is changing things to show his kindness. When the Prophet went up, and he was assigned how many prayers first?
50.
Then he came down, he met Prophet Musa. Prophet Musa says, what? 50? No way! Muslims will not be able to make 50. Go back, ask for relief to decrease the number. He went back to Allah. Allah changed the numbers to 30, 20, 10, and then 5. Every time Prophet Muhammad goes down, he meets Prophet Musa. He said, what? Go back. At the very end, when he said 5, when he went back to Allah and Allah said 5, Allah said one something else. Allah said 5. And the ones who do 5, they get the reward of 50. So Allah was so generous. So when he was going down, Prophet Musa said, huh, how did he do? He said, now it was reduced to 5. He said, what? 5 is too much. So he said, no, I'm very shy to go back and ask. Allah said, if you do 5, you get the reward of 50. That's too much, I mean, to ask. So he took the 5 and he went down. The smart question is, why didn't Allah say 5 from the beginning? And he answered the question. What's your name?
Hisham.
Very intelligent, mashallah. He answered the question. He said, Allah wants us to recognize his kindness. If he wouldn't do that, would we be able to see his kindness?
No.
So that's the wisdom behind this. So Allah has 2 books. Allah has how many books?
2.
One is called the design, and the other one's called the actual. In Arabic, it's called Al-Qada and Al-Qadar. So there is a book which is called Al-Qada. Another book is called Al-Qadar. One book is called the Qada, and I will quote the ayah in the Quran where Allah is talking about this. So, the Qada means the actual, the final book. Al Qadar means the initial. The initial book, Al-Qadr. Al-Qada. Let me do Tashkeel. Al-Qadr. الضر القى ضاء. And to give you the verse in the Quran that speaks about these two books, where Allah has the final book, but He gave the angels the initial book, and He changes in the initial book until at the end it matches the final book. So the final book, Allah knows it's 5. But the initial book was what, 50, right? Then Allah will change them from 50 to 5. Go ahead.
But Allah already knows if you're going to be good or bad. What's the point of like putting you in Jannah and hell after you've already lived?
Yeah, that's exactly. We answered this question in the Islamic studies. I answered this question in details. That, go ahead.
Allah knows what you're going to do, but He doesn't control what you're going to do.
That's right. I tell you why. How is that? We always think, in order for me to know the future, I have to make a plan and force everybody to follow the plan. Right? That is true for humans. We have no way of knowing the future except like that. I make a plan, all right? And I force everybody by force, by threatening, you have to follow the plan. And this way I know what the future is going to be. All right? Allah doesn't need to do that. Allah knows the future without forcing everybody to follow what He knows. Go ahead. Al-Qadr, yes. Al-Qadr. Qaf, al-Qadr. Al-Qadr. So basically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows because of His power, because of His powers and greatness and His abilities, He knows. He controls the time. The time doesn't control Him. He is, to Him, yesterday and today and tomorrow are happening together. There's no time for Him. Like right now, to Allah, it's all. If I may give you a simple example, the time for Allah is He contains the time between, let's say, His hands like that, for example.
Whoa.
So, to Him, He is controlling the time. He's moving the time forward. Okay? So, we people think of the time as a movie that has frames. Allah has the whole movie like that. All right, and what He's doing is just progressing the picture. All right, but it's the whole movie, it's between His hands. Why? Because the time is not controlling Allah, He's controlling the time. And the time doesn't contain Allah, Allah contains the time. So to him, there is nothing called today and tomorrow. So He knows what's going to happen. It's all right now happening. He can see everything together right now. So He knows your choices, and these are also among His powers, that He is able to give you the freedom to choose and know your choices. He's able to do that, you see? And that is among His wonders and His greatness, that He's able to do that. But He is not forcing you to do anything. So people who say Allah knows and we're forced, then they are trying to blame Allah for their mistakes. That's not acceptable. They are responsible of anything they do. Okay? Allah is not to be blamed, or Allah is not responsible of your deeds. Allah gave you the freedom of choice and you chose. Alright? He knew your choices ahead of time and He didn't change them. He just said, okay, whatever you want, you get. Alright? Or He will override your choices so that's not possible for you to get them. Like, for example, you go to the liquor store to buy liquor. Then He says, no, I don't want him to drink liquor. So you go, you find the store closed. So you already earned the sin. But you didn't drink the liquor, but it counts. Like, it's exactly like you drink the liquor. Because Allah wants to limit evil. Make it less. You try to kill somebody and you can't because of the police. You already, by your desiring to kill somebody, you already earned the sin. But Allah doesn't want killing to be spread. So He stops you by the police. But you already wanted to kill him, so it's already counted on you. Go ahead.
What's
liquor? Is it wine? Wine, yes. Liquor is wine, beer, things like that. All right?
But
so,
that still doesn't answer the question. Why does He make you live then? If you were already going to make these choices.
Yeah.
I mean, Allah is giving an opportunity to earn an everlasting happy life. Giving you this opportunity. Okay? Maybe bad guys will say, I didn't want this opportunity. But excuse me, I want this opportunity. I want the opportunity to exist, and I want the opportunity to go to an everlasting happy life. It's very kind of Him to make you exist and give you such an opportunity. It's very kind. And Allah wants to offer this opportunity. So Allah will give you the freedom to choose what is between right and wrong. And that is the test. And it's up to you. You are interested in Jannah, go for it. You're interested in hell, go. You'll go for it and you'll end up there. And in order for this to happen, evil people has to exist. Why? Because evil people will try to corrupt the earth and good people will try to make the earth a better place. And they struggle together. Okay? If Allah would only let good people live, then the earth, there would be no test. In order to have a test, all right, you have to have bad guys who are trying to make the world worse, a bad place, and you are resisting, you're opposing that. Then this is how you qualify yourself for the everlasting happy life. He knew what the choices are, and He gave them the free will just like He gave it to you, equal opportunity. And they chose that, okay, let them eat it. But I am interested into that opportunity. I don't want to give it up. Really, I'm interested into it. And I have hopes in His mercy and kindness, forgiving my sins, and multiplying the good deeds that I did, and forgiving the bad deeds, and giving me an everlasting happy life. I'm not responsible for a bad guy who made wrong choices and he's going to hell. It's not my business. I mean that he made these choices or she made these choices, all right? I don't want to lose the test. I want to exist, alhamdulillah, and I want to take the test, and I pray for Allah to help me pass the test. So that's a golden opportunity to have an everlasting happy life in Jannah. I'm going to look up the verse in the Quran where Allah talks about changing the books. And He has the final book. This verse in the Quran, trying to find my glasses here because I'm blind without my glasses. And good job, I don't have them. So, anyway, I'll try to get it without. It's very difficult to see without the glasses for me. All right. Okay. Now. What?
The lottery winner for this day is 9855.
Okay, I'll try to get it at the end when I'm having my glasses. All right. So now I'll do this.
Your glasses are.
No, these are the sunglasses. So right now I'm going to put it online. So whenever you look at the picture online, you will see the verse that's what Allah is talking about that. I can't see anyway. So what happens is that the initial book will say you live until the age of 60. You do good deeds. The final book says that you die at age 62. And the question is, why not just having one book? And the answer came from
Hisham,
very smart answer, which is Allah wanted to show his kindness, not only to us, to the angels. I'll give you another example. Let's say you are on the freeway, okay? You are where?
Freeway.
And you're driving your car over speed. And then you see a car right in front of you. The guy steps on the brake. And you're about to go into a fatal accident. You're going to die. You're really going high speed. And in the very, very, very last minute, you turn the steering wheel and you avoid the guy.
And then you get trapped.
So the question is, if Allah knows from the beginning that you are not going to be killed in this accident, so why not saving you from the beginning?
He wanted you to say,
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah, you saved me. Alhamdulillah, I was about to get killed. I thank you, Ya Allah. Alhamdulillah. See? Isn't that what happens? So the whole purpose is for you to recognize this. Another thing that happened to me, my daughter Lina, she was 5, and we were waiting for the bus in Egypt. And it was a highway. Cars are flying 70, 80 miles per hour. And then she was playing with her cousin. So her cousin was chasing her and she was running towards the bus. When she was almost under, you know, just like that close from going under the wheels of the bus, okay, my brother, which is her uncle, he ran towards her and he picked her up. He saved her life. Now, I was very thankful to Allah. Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, you saved my daughter. Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah. Alhamdulillah. And then I was like, okay, try to think, what did I do so that Allah saved my daughter? And then I tried to think backward about something that I did, and then I tried to do it again. So I thought about something that I did recently that was good deed. And then I figured out that it's possible that because of this deed, Allah saved my daughter. And then I increased, did it more and more and more often. Because it was such a good deal that you do this little good deed and Allah changes the what?
What good deed? What
was it?
In this book, my daughter was, the truck should run over my daughter and she should die. Then Allah changes that into the final book, which is not going to die.
Okay,
now, why did Allah make the change? So that angels know, recognize his kindness, and I recognize his kindness, and I thank him. I thank him for his kindness. Go ahead. I will keep that to myself. I tell you why, because I don't want to brag about it. All right? When you brag about something,
want to do it so that we...
Because we want to know, you're not telling us.
I'll say one word, charity, that's it. All right? So Allah saves you from death and saves your children from death by charity. Actually, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, charity will heal diseases. Like charity will cure you from diseases. It's not antibiotics. Okay?
Yeah.
All right? It's charity. Now, how does it work? Allah, if you pay a charity, then You get the disease, then Allah, or you have the disease, you pay a charity. Allah wants the disease to go away. Then you go to the doctor, then Allah makes the doctor figure out the right disease. Does the doctor does the correct diagnosis. So, and then the doctor will write you the correct medication. And this medication, Allah will let your body interact with this medication so that you become fine.
Yay.
Now, you don't pay charity and you have the disease. You keep going to the doctor. And the doctor's trying hard to diagnose you, and every time he's giving you a wrong diagnosis. Or he's giving you the wrong medicine. Dose is too much. Dose is too little. And you never... Or Allah will command your body not to react with the medicine.
But what if the doctor is a good man? So then you Allah makes him cure that guy, but then the other guy was bad, so he doesn't deserve to be cured, but then he got cured anyway, right? So
see, Allah resolves these conflicts His way. Like, for example, okay, there's one scholarship, right? You want this scholarship, and he wants that scholarship, all right? You both are competing on what? Same scholarship, all right? Now Allah will resolve that conflict by deciding who gets the scholarship. He has his own ways of deciding who gets the scholarship, all right? But a lot of people want the same thing. Two people are fighting to become the president. Allah makes one the president and the other one is not. So Allah decides about that. So whatever the doctor you said and the patient and there's a conflict there, Allah will resolve the conflict in the most wise way. Al-Hakim, the most wise way. Whatever has happened before, it is the best thing that anybody could have come up with. It is actually better than whatever anybody can come up with. As long as something has happened in the past, okay, it's guaranteed to be the best scenario that anybody can come up with. Why? Because Allah is the most wise. Given the circumstances, Allah makes the best scenario happen. And He decides the best. But in the scenario that is decided by Allah, some people are winners and other people are what?
Losers.
So you want to be among the winners in the scenario that Allah decides. But that is the best, most fair scenario that Allah decides. All right? So the changing things from qada to qadar is for the purpose of us to recognize the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, another question comes in mind and says, okay, now Allah decides who gets what. Allah decides who gets what. There is a story that confirms that. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, the fourth Khalifa. Ali ibn who? Abi Talib. Alright, the fourth who?
Khalifa.
He had a very nice camel. He had a very nice what?
Camel.
Then he wanted to go finish some business. And it was a risky place. If he would leave this camel in the place, that somebody would steal the camel. And he wants to go do some business in a place where he can't take the camel with him. So he picked up a guy that he knew, and he trusted him with the camel. He said, keep this camel for me until I come back. The guy really liked the camel, and he was staring at the camel with a lot of desire to take the camel. And Ali ibn al-Talib noticed that. So while he was going into doing his business, he made a decision that this guy, when I go back, I will give him the camel as a gift. I will give him the camel as a what?
Gift.
Why is that? Because he noticed that the guy is looking at the camel with a lot of what?
Desire
to own the camel. So he said, I'll do a good deed, I'll give him the whole camel. He went back to find that the guy stole the camel.
That's
sick.
I knew that was going to happen.
No. He stole the camel. So he said, the camel was assigned to him by Allah. right? It was part of the shares that he's going to get. Allah determined that this camel will go to this guy. But he got it the haram way. If he would have waited until I come back, he would have gotten it the way. Halal way. You got it?
So what happened to him later?
Now, this is the end of the story. The lesson to learn here is that the camel was prescribed already, decided by Allah that this camel will go to the guy. But because the guy got the camel the haram way, okay, it counts as a bad deed. But if he would have waited and refused haram, Allah would have given him the same camel, but what? Halal way. And he will go to Jannah. You understand?
Yeah.
So,
everything depends on yourself.
Yes, whatever your shares of life are decided by Allah, and then you choose how do you get them. You choose what?
How
do you get them? You choose to get them the haram way. Like your shares of entertainment is also decided by Allah, and your shares of pain in this life are also decided by Allah. All right. It is up to you. How do you get your entertainment? You want to get it the halal fun or the haram fun? It is the same. Like 5 hours of joy, for example. It's up to you. Allah can give them to you the halal way or the haram way. And you decide which way you want to get them. If you bring a bad movie and you have fun 5 hours, they count against you. But if you get a halal movie and you spend the 5 hours, they count towards you.
It takes 5 hours to watch it.
I mean, I'm just giving you an example. Don't pick on the details. Another thing is the pain. The pain assigned to you is determined by Allah. Let's say 10 hours of pain. All right? Just let's say that. It's up to you. If you decide to fast, then your pain will be in what?
9 hours.
No, your pain becomes in fasting.
Oh,
okay, so now you got your 10 hours of pain with a lot of hasanat. But if you decide that I'm not going to fast because it's going to make me... No. Allah will give you your pain maybe through a disease. Like you have 10 hours of pain. You're going to get them. So you're better off getting them in a worship, in an act of worship, than getting them in a disease or something like that. But you got it. You get 5 hours of fun and entertainment and 10 hours of pain pre-assigned. All right?
And
then you decide how do you want to get them. And you have, let's say, $10,000 over your life as your shares of money. Okay. They are there. Okay? They are yours. You want to get them the halal way. You seek them the halal way. You get them with a lot of hasanat. You seek them the haram way, you get them, but with a lot of sayyat. It is the same exact amount of money. Right? Just like this guy, the same exact camel, wasn't a different camel. If he would have waited, and if he would have controlled himself and said, no, I am not going to steal it, he would have gotten the same camel as a gift with a lot of hasanat and blessings from Allah. But he was bad enough that he lost control to his temptations and greed and selfishness. He stole the camel. He got the same camel with a lot of sayyat and punishment in the day of judgment. Do you understand?
So
it is pre-assigned, yes, but it's up to you. How do you want to get it? That's where you have the freedom of choice. I want to get them this way or can I get them? You want to run away from prayers. Why do you want to run away from prayers? Because it's painful. All right, fine. I'm giving you an example. I want to run away from prayers and fasting. Why? Because it's painful. Yes, but you have been pre-assigned 20 hours of pain.
Ouch.
All right? You think you're smart. You evaded the pain because you evaded the prayer and fasting.
Now you're going to get hurt even more.
You're going to get it. Get it in what?
Disease.
Or death of your children, or being laid off. Okay? You are going to get the pain. You are going to get the pain, whether you like it or not. It's better for you to get the pain in fasting and praying. If you play smart and run away from fasting and playing and praying, you are going to get the pain in another form. All right? But it's not going to be blessings. It's going to be a curse. All right? So don't you ever think that you're smart and skip prayers and fasting. All right. What is your homework? Is to summarize what we talked about today and send me an email. And send me a what?
Email. Can we write it?
Email. No, email me the summary. Type the summary on an email and send it to me. Same thing like last week. Thank you very much.